The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. Excuse me. And I want to give you just a moment to hop on here as we are live here on Facebook. We want to give just a moment again for everybody to hop on here. It is Thursday afternoon. It is October 8th, and it is edging in close to 2 p.m. Eastern time. I've got a few headlines I want to discuss today on our prophetic viewpoint. So again, if this is your first time joining us or hopping on here to the broadcast, please let me know below that you're new to the broadcast. We welcome you to, again, End Time Headlines. And don't forget to subscribe. If you go up to the description of this video, you're going to see a place where you can subscribe to catch all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Please don't forget to do that. It's free. It's a free digest. It'll come into your inbox every single day. Of course, be sure to like and subscribe to our Facebook page. If you would, please invite people to the broadcast. Share this link as well. And as you guys are hopping on, we're going to officially welcome our podcast audience. We welcome our YouTube audience as well today for this prophetic viewpoint. Today, I'm going to be dealing with four headlines that are trending right now on our main website. Four headlines. We're going to talk about new crackdowns in New York City coming from Governor Cuomo against churches and synagogues. We're going to talk about unrest warnings dealing with the upcoming election, which is 4 weeks away, if you can believe that. That's unbelievable. 4 weeks away until we get to the elections. Falling away of the church, more evidence of that today. I'm going to show you that today on today's broadcast. Is that that's continuing to escalate. And also, could Kim Jong-un of North Korea have a surprise up his sleeve for Donald Trump? That is the four topics today. Let's get after it. Let's go right after our first story. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is at it again with new coronavirus threats. According to a new report, in his latest warning, Cuomo has threatened to shut down churches and synagogues in New York City if they, quote, do not agree to follow the rules regarding social distancing and mask use as part of the state's response to COVID-19. It's interesting that he mentions churches and synagogues, but he never mentions mosque. I just thought that was interesting. According to the Christian Post, during a press conference on Monday, Governor Cuomo was heard speaking of plans to close schools designated as being in New York City hotspots. And he issued a strong warning to churches and synagogues in the same areas and issued a strong warning to churches and synagogues in the same region. And he went on to say, quote, we know religious institutions have been a problem, he argued, pointing to a screen showing pictures of Christian and Jewish gatherings. Again, no mosque was pictured in this illustration on Monday during this press conference. To me, that's interesting. Quote, he goes on and stresses that you don't see masks and you see clear violations of social distancing. Quote, if you do not agree to follow the rules, then we will close the institutions down, obviously referring to synagogues and churches in the city. I am prepared to do that, Cuomo said, according to the report. Excuse me. The Twitter account for Satmar headquarters, which is a Jewish community based in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, explained that one of the pictures that was illustrated on the screen in the press conference on Monday was not from recent weeks, as Cuomo has, quote, insinuated, but was more than a decade old. Did you hear that? So, apparently, Governor Cuomo, whether he grabbed these pictures or he had someone else do it for him, but they probably should have did a little bit more, excuse me, homework, being that they pulled pictures that were according to this Jewish community that were more than a decade old, putting them up on the screen and blasting the community that they were not social distancing and not using masks. I'm just saying, if you're gonna rebuke somebody over alleging doing something, at least get an up-to-date picture to validate your point. In fact, they said this picture that was used is from 2006 from a funeral of the previous Satmar Grand Rebbe 14 years ago. Then there was a parishioner at a church there also in the same region who has also raised concerns that the governor was unfairly targeting houses of worship. And he went on to say that it's, quote, ridiculous. The parishioner went on to say that, quote, it absolutely makes no sense that, quote, we go out of our way to make sure it is safe. The churches have been doing the right thing. We are being punished for our hard work. And why is this being done by zip code makes no sense. Quote, what if you live in one neighborhood and go to a church in another? So again, this was from the parishioner there at this St. Athenius Church there in New York. Governor Cuomo made public his list of requirements for churches. Let me give you this list of requirements that was made from Governor Cuomo. Quote, if we're going to keep religious institutions open, it can only be with two conditions. One, the community must agree, whether it's the Jewish community, whether we're talking about black churches, whether we're talking about Roman Catholic churches, the religious community has to agree to the rules, and they have to agree that they are going to follow the rules. And they have to agree that they are going to be a full partner in the enforcement of the rules. Again, no mosque is mentioned. No rules being mentioned for quote-unquote peaceful protest. And we know how peaceful they've been. He went on to stress that if you do not agree to enforce the rules, then we will close the institutions down. Cuomo said the second condition for keeping religious institutions open required strict enforcement of social distancing rules and capacity limits. Quote, if the rule is no more than 50% of the people in a black church, I want someone at the door when 50% enter the church. A person there who says to the pastor, quote, you agree to follow the rules, that's 50%. That's it, or we close it down. This is according to Governor Cuomo. Hundreds of Orthodox Jews are not taking this by the wayside. According to a report, they've even taken the streets in Brooklyn, New York, outraged over the government orders to shut down their synagogues and houses of worship. Quote, we are not going to be deprived of the right that we have in America. Like everyone else in America, the right to observe our religion. Good for you. Good for you. Councilman Kalman Yeager told Borough Park News that Governor Andrew Cuomo isn't alone, as New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, no surprise there, has implemented strict guidelines limiting houses of worship to no more than 10 people. Non-essential businesses have also been ordered to close, along with schools. In fact, I don't know if you saw the report, but they're trying to shut New York down again fully, like they did back in March, in these hot spots in New York, threatening to shut down schools, shut down business. And over 50% of restaurants and bars in that region have already said that they probably will never recover from this. This is absolutely unfathomable, that New York will never be the same again. He went on to say that, quote, it's called civil disobedience. We can fight back, activist Tischler told the crowd after tearing up his face mask. Again, these were some of these Orthodox Jews that are taking to the streets and protesting these new tyrannical enforcements that are coming from Governor Cuomo and Bill de Blasio in New York. So, guys, this is what's going on in New York City. So if you live in New York, you already probably are aware of this, especially if you go to a church in that area or perhaps a synagogue or whatnot. This is what's coming your way. And I suspect that as we get into November, we get into December and January, it's going to be even more crazy. Speaking of more crazy, let's get to our second story here. A new poll was done that reveals that many Americans are deeply concerned about the upcoming election results and what actions people might resort to as a consequence of the outcome. According to YouGov, a poll that was done of nearly 2,000 registered voters, it was discovered that nearly half, about approximately 47%, disagree with the idea that the election is likely to be, quote, fair and honest. And slightly more than half, about 51%, won't generally agree on who is the legitimate elected president of the United States. Let me say that again. This wasn't from Donald Trump. This wasn't from Joe Biden. This was a group of 2,000 people that was polled. And in this group, 51% said that they, listen to this, they generally agree, they will not generally agree on who is the legitimately elected president of the U.S. In other words, more than half of 2,000 people polled said that no matter the outcome, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, it didn't say, they didn't emphasize in here out of the 2,000 people how many were conservative, how many were independent, and how many were Democrat. We just know that there was 2,000 individuals that were polled. And out of those 2,000, 51% says that they will not agree on who is a legitimate elected president, regardless of the outcome. And again, 47% say that they do not believe it will be even fair and honest. This poll was recently done between the days of October 1st and 2nd, so of this month. And they, according to the report, it has a margin of error of approximately 2.56%. So they're saying this is fairly accurate. Again, fairly accurate. I know you guys can't see me on podcast, but I'm doing the air quotes. Even more concerning is the fact that out of 1,500 of these voters, they found up to 56% are expecting to see a, quote, increase in violence as a result of the election. And I'm going to take it a step further. There's a large percentage of Americans that absolutely believe that we are on the very brink of a new or another civil war here in the United States. This all comes as U.S. intelligence officials have warned several times now that violent domestic extremists are posing a threat to the presidential election in 4 weeks. And what officials are calling a, quote, witch's brew of rising political tension, civil unrest, and foreign disinformation campaigns. And by the way, Facebook is all over. They, quote, disinformation campaigns. They've completely eradicated certain groups off of Facebook that they deem to be controversial, that they deem to be conspiracy theorists. They're also cracking down and removing all forms of interference or disinformation campaigns that pose a threat to democracy. There was a report that we just pulled up. I don't have it here. But even the U.S. military is now getting involved in creating an artificial intelligence system that is able to detect false information and remove it from from the web. This all ties in, even now while I'm talking and speaking to you, doing a live broadcast, my phone, which is an iPhone, has a green light up at the top, meaning that the video camera is now recording. Everything I'm saying, it is recording it. In case you didn't know this, we did a report on this. The new iOS 14 point whatever update that they did recently has now enabled the iPhone to, but it generates either a orange or a green light to appear at the top of it. And this indicates to the user whether the orange indicates that the recording device or the microphone has been activated. So when you pick it up, you take your phone, you begin to make a telephone call, you'll notice that that little light comes on and it's recording, or the microphone is on to pick up your conversation. The green light comes on, meaning that the video has been activated. Why is this going on? So they can gather information, so they can better serve the community, to be able to pull up ads that are relevant to you. That's what they lead us to believe is why, the main reason why they're doing that. But friends, when you peel back a deeper layer of this, again, this is not something new. This is not something we didn't already know. But now they're not even making this hidden anymore. This is something that is right there and being known to the general public. According to this new report from the FBI and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, memos have surfaced that are indicating that threats by domestic extremists to election-related targets will likely increase in the run-up to November 3rd election. So get ready. We have 4 weeks. I suspect we're going to see something crazy. These warnings have remained internal for the most part. However, New Jersey's Homeland Security Office took the unusual and unprecedented step of making the memos public, highlighting the threat in a little noticed report on its website last week. As all of this continues to reach a boiling point, many believe that America is on the verge of another civil war. Again, we just emphasized that. So all this is, and by the way, I read this was breaking news just a little bit ago, that the next election between Biden and Trump, they're pushing for it to be virtual. I don't know. I don't have confirmation that it will be virtual. It seems, I'm pulling up an article right now from the Associated Press. I'm just going to read a little bit of this headline. It is suddenly unclear whether President Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden will square off in a debate again, where they might do so and whether they would face each other in person or virtually on video screen. So it's still up in the air. We don't know officially yet. Again, that is the latest on this as far as this goes. Now, I want to move on to our third story today. This one's a little bit disturbing, but the United States is on high alert as a new report is revealing that North Korea may be preparing to unveil what is being called a never-before-seen nuclear missile and a massive army parade this Saturday. Satellite images are revealing that Kim Jong-un's military is secretly preparing for the event, and experts are believing that that North Korea may ready to offer up a, quote, surprise for the West and U.S. President Donald Trump. Now, this brings up the conversation that we've talked about, we've discussed for many years now, and that is the threat of a electromagnetic pulse bomb or EMP attack against the United States. Now, there's been a lot of controversy whether or not North Korea could actually carry this out on their own accord. But as many intelligence experts and military experts have pointed out, that this could actually be carried out not just from North Korea, but they could collaborate with other countries like China, Russia, in Iran and carry out a EMP attack. This is something, in fact, even national security has even warned about this recently. They've been warning about this for years now. And then, what was it, last week? We suddenly had all these internet outages. The internet went out, phone company went out, the 9/11 emergency system went out, Apple suffered a major outage. I mean, it was just one thing after another, in a period of like 24 to 48 hours, we had all kinds of communications and things just go out and go haywire. And of course, no logical, no straightforward exclamation could come out to tell us why this was taking place. No one could give a clear understanding or report on it. Rather, it was just kind of speculative. All right. So again, experts are warning that the world may soon see a new weapon emerge from North Korea. And could be the largest ever missile on this Saturday. There are theories that this new missile could be a new land-based nuclear missile or a, quote, submarine-launched weapon. One expert, who is an associate professor in international relations to King's College in London, recently told The Sun Online, which is a UK affiliate, that he expects Kim may unveil a new intercontinental ballistic missile. He went on to say that, quote, I think they will unveil something new. Intelligence tells us that if it will probably be an ICBM. And he also believes that this would be the perfect time to unveil this weapon, as North Korea will be celebrating their 75th anniversary of becoming a communist nation there. So he went on further to say that, quote, from what we know, there are indications that they are hard at work on a new ICBM and that it is more threatening to the U.S. At, quote, at the very least, in unveiling a new intercontinental ballistic missile, you would expect the range to be better. The range of the current missiles is estimated to reach the whole of the U.S. landmass, but we don't know for sure. In a sense, any lingering doubts over whether their missiles can reach the U.S. would be gone with a new ICBM. In other words, he's saying if North Korea unveils a new intercontinental ballistic missile that surpasses the reach of the previous missiles, then there'll be no doubts. There'll be left no uncertainties that this missile can absolutely reach the inland of the United States. That's absolutely terrifying. So we got that going on. We've got, again, all these things going on in the forefront. Now, I'm going to give you our last story here. This one hits home at the church, and then we're going to close out this segment for today. A new shocking poll just was released, and this one again was done by the Barna Group, revealing, listen to this, according to a new poll, 4 in 10 American Christians that were surveyed, 4 out of 10, get that in your head, 4 out of 10 Christians that were surveyed say that the Bible is left to self-interpretation when it comes to the topic of abortion. I want to say that one more time because I want that to soak in. Approximately 4 out of 10 American Christians, individuals that profess to be believers, profess to be Christians in America, say that they believe when it comes to the topic of abortion, that the Bible is not black and white on it, and that it is ambiguous, meaning that it's left up to self-interpretation. Wow. The new assessment was according to the Cultural Research Center of Arizona Christian University and was part of the CRC's American Worldview Inventory 2020 survey. The report discovered that 44% of the respondents surveyed from the Barna Group said they believe the Bible is ambiguous in its teaching about abortion. Listen to this. While 34% of those surveyed said that, quote, abortion is morally acceptable if it spares the mother from financial or emotional discomfort or hardship. Now, can we go farther? As if we need to. According to Barna, these findings on opinions about abortion were part of a broader departure from biblical truth. By self-identified American Christians, quote, the irony of the reshaping of the spiritual landscape in America is that it represents a post-Christian reformation driven by people seeking to retain a Christian identity. Wow. In other words, they want to identify themselves as Christian by title, but not identify themselves as Christian by works and by fruit and by obedience to the Word of God. Unfortunately, the theology of this Reformation is being driven by American culture rather than biblical truth. Even more shocking was the fact that the report also revealed, listen to this, that 34% of self-identified American Christians reject the idea that marriage is exclusively defined as being between one man and one woman. And that 40% of self-identified American Christians accept lying as morally acceptable if it advances personal interest or protects one's reputation. You say, "What? Where'd you go? I'm quiet because I'm letting that soak in. Selah. The Bible, all through the book of Psalms, he uses S-E-L-A-H, Selah, meaning stop, meditate on that, contemplate on that, think about that for a minute. Guys, how much more proof do you need that we are in a desperate need of an awakening in America? We can't even get revival in our churches because, one, we can't get believers to show up. Two, we can't get them to read the Word. We can't get them to obey the Word. We can't get them to serve the church. We can't get them in the church. So if we don't have a revival, and I just covered this on our equipping and evangelical arm of our ministry called Remnant Revival Ministries. Again, you can find us on YouTube, and it's on our Remnant Revival podcast. But we talked about going from revival to awakening and why we desperately need this in America. How much more clear do we? Jeremiah 1:5. God says he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. But yet the Bible's ambiguous on this. It's left to self-interpretation. Okay. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. Speaks of God's active role in our creation and formation in the womb. Read it. Let me pull it up here. I don't have this in front of me, but we can pull it up, because I want to see how this is black. It's not black and white, and it's left to self interpretation. For you, speaking of God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when yet there was none of them. Well, you know, Brother Ricky, that doesn't really talk about abortion. Really? Again, what about Proverbs 6? Let's pull that up. I could probably quote it, but we're going to pull it up here because I want to make sure I get all of it out here so that we make this real clear. Real clear. It talks about here. Let me just hold on for a second, guys. Again, this is the spur of the moment things. I should have had this pulled up before I did this, but sometimes this is live when we do this. Okay. Here we go. Give me just a second, guys. All right, here we go. This is Proverbs 6, 16 through 18. These six things the Lord hates. He does what? He hates them. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. So listen up. Clean your ears out. These seven things are an abomination to him. Ready? Number one, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, write it down, highlight it, whatever you got to do. Listen to number three, hands that shed innocent blood. How much clearer can you get? I'm going to read the rest of this. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil. Okay? A false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among the brethren. That's seven things the Lord hates. And one in that thing, he calls these, number one, he says he hates them. Number two, he says they're an abomination. And shedding innocent blood is right in the middle of these seven things. Stop it. Stop playing politically correct. Stop catering to the culture. Stop being spineless. Stop having no backbone. For the love of Pete, where are the John the Baptists in our generation that are willing to stand on the bank of the Jordan, stand in the wilderness and proclaim, thus says the Lord, and prepare ye the Lord, and prepare the way of the Lord, and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So if you believe this mess, you need to repent according to the Bible. Wow. Certain pro-abortion activists or advocates, I'm sorry, such as Joyce Arthur of the Pro-Choice Action Network have continually argued that the Bible clearly states that life and personhood begins with breath. This argument has appeared on abortion clinic websites and promotional materials in response to religious objections to abortion. Quote, and I'm going to give you a little quote from them. The Hebrew word for human being or living soul is nephesh, which is also the word for breath or breathing. Nephesh occurs over 700 times in the Bible as to identifying the factor in human life. Obviously, a fetus would be included in this, and therefore cannot be this cannot be overlooked. It has blood. It has a nervous system, guys. I could go on, but I'm going to use some wisdom here. I think you get the point here. The point, guys, on this is that unfortunately, all this is doing. Here we are, I say this every election year. As we get closer and closer to that time, we begin to see the separation of the wheat from the tares and from the goat from the sheep. We're seeing who, no offense to my Australian brothers and sisters or those that may be watching overseas or wherever you're watching. We have a lot of people that come on from Australia and from the Philippines and from Africa. This, I want to leave you out of this. I want to talk to my home folks here for a minute. So all you guys, this doesn't include you. I want to talk directly to all the quote-unquote Christians, brothers and sisters that are watching, listening from the United States of America. For the love of God, pick up the Bible. Start reading it. and obey the word of God. And he say, are you endorsing a candidate? No, I'm saying I vote according to the word. I don't vote according to a donkey or an elephant. I don't vote according to a political stance. I don't vote according to this or that. I vote when I stand before God and you stand before God, we're going to give an account on who we endorsed, supported, and put into the highest places of office. We're going to have to answer to God for that. And my conscience is clear because I look at the word of God. I'm not going to publicly tell you who to vote for. That's between you and God. And you got to hear from the Holy Spirit. And you got to read your word. But the problem is we got a lot of folks who don't read the word. And we got a lot of folks who don't hear from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, they are letting culture, they're letting the world, they're letting the mainstream media shape them, mold them, identify, form their identity, and manipulate them on how to be a quote-unquote Christian. And this really shouldn't be any surprise to anybody, because when you read the end of the book and you start reading about apostasy and you read about falling away and you read about the man of sin that will rise, and there will be such widespread deception that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So this shouldn't be a surprise. Because the closer we get to the emergence of the Antichrist, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more the church is going to fall away. The more apostasy. These polls, I predict to you, based on the word of God, that the margin of these outcomes of these polls are going to get worse and worse and worse, until we're going to get to a point where if you actually believe the Bible, you're going to be considered to be an absolute freak. You're going to be considered to be a bigot. You're going to be considered to be homophobic. You're going to be considered to be a radical. Oh, well, hold on. Wait a minute. Oh, that's right. That's already happening. But it's going to happen on an even greater scale the closer we get to the Lord and the closer we get to this thing wrapping up and the unveiling of the Antichrist. And I hate to tell you, but if certain individuals get into power and they use the powers to be with the stroke of a pen, they can sign laws into place in our nation. Just like we saw in the book of Daniel with the Medes and Persians and with the Babylonian Empire, we can begin to see things that we've only read about, talked about, and seen on television that has never come to the shores of America. But I'm telling you, we are on the precipice of these things coming and coming right into your bedroom and affecting you and your church and your family. So this is just another watchman today telling you that this thing is wrapping up. We're getting closer, but I don't want to leave you with all the bad news. I want to leave you with good news. And that is Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Guys, again, this has been our broadcast for today. We thank you for coming on and joining us today for this segment. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, that's our main website. Again, you guys on Facebook Live, follow us up there at the top in the description. If you click on that link, it's going to bring you to our daily digest. I want you to subscribe to that. All you got to do is just fill out that information. Bam, you'll get one digest every single day. It's going to keep you up to date with our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as podcasts being uploaded and other things about our ministry. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, we try to get the visuals and the graphics up for this today, but Zoom is acting all nutty today. It's not working with Facebook. I don't know what's going on with it. But again, you can find our free app. It's available on Apple, on the Apple Store. You can go to the Android Play Store. Again, our official ETH app, please download it. It's free. Get into your hands. Guys, we are all over the place. You can find us. If you're wanting to follow End Time Headlines, we're on every social media outlet out there, the major ones. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, USA.life, and MeWe. We're on all of these outlets. Just look for us, find us there, follow us there as well. Again, we do have a YouTube channel. You can find it at End Time Headlines. Look for our YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe to that. Don't forget to look for Remnant Revival Ministries. That's our equipping and teaching arm of the ministry. Again, both Remnant Revival and End Time Headlines both have podcasts, and both are on Spotify, both are on Apple as well. Again, Remnant Revival. .org is where you can go to find you'll get devotionals there, podcasts, encouraging messages. So our ministry, guys, is reaching people all over the world. It's equipping, it's edifying people, it's informing people, it's transforming lives. And if you'd like to be a part of this ministry, helping our ministry, supporting our ministry, if you'd like to give, whether it's a one-time gift or maybe partner with this ministry, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, we ask that you be obedient to that. And you can do that by going to our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can go to our app, whatever you have, whatever's easiest for you. And you can find the little donate buttons there, and you can click and give electronically. Again, a one-time gift, or you can do a monthly partnership. If you wish to give old school by check or money order, you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And again, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time out today on this Thursday to come on here. We're going to be signing off for today, but we pray hopefully that we'll be able to be back on tomorrow with probably an encouraging word from our Remnant Revival arm, our equipping arm of our ministries. But we'll broadcast it live here on ETH. But again, that podcast and that YouTube of that message will not be found on ETH YouTube channel. But it'll be found on the Remnant Revival. So we do that so that you can keep up with the archives easier. So again, we love you guys. God bless you.